Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I am your host, Tony Serino, and this is your daily dose of all things Steelers. Today on the podcast, I'm going to have Christopher Carter from DK Pittsburgh Sports on the show. He's an NFL analyst for them. He does their film breakdowns, including his War Room feature, his Carter's Classroom feature. I want to talk to him today about what he's seen from the defense through the first two preseason games. Of course, I've been so critical of the defense through the first two games. Right, I mean, there's still a long way to go, and I think, you know, once we get the starters back, things can improve, but the tackling, the issues at inside linebacker, the issues really with the front seven altogether, the issues in the secondary at safety, right? You know, hopefully Chris can come on and kind of talk us off the ledge a little bit about that performance from the defense. So we'll have him on a little later in the show. Welcome to the show. I am Tony Serino. I am the former host of the Steeler Country podcast. I do want to welcome all the new listeners that we've gotten over the last month. You know, since the start of training camp, we really have seen incredible growth here on Locked On Steelers. So thank you to all the new listeners for joining in. In fact, yesterday, the 53-man roster prediction podcast, that was the most listened to podcast in Locked On Steelers history. So who knew you guys were so interested in a 53-man roster prediction? I'll have to do more of those next year. I'm going to do one more before final cuts. But again, thank you to all the new listeners for joining up. If you haven't subscribed yet, head on over to iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you find your podcast, search for Locked On Steelers, hit that subscribe button. You're going to get this podcast on a daily basis. Again, we do this podcast 5 days a week. In fact, this week, looking at the schedule, we got a Saturday game against the Tennessee Titans. So I'll do a Saturday podcast. That'll kind of be a preview, pregame podcast. I'll try to get that up really early on Saturday morning so you guys can listen to that before the game. That game is at 4 o'clock. It should end around 7. So that'll give me time to maybe rewatch it again or rewatch key moments. I can do a rapid reaction podcast afterwards. So Sunday, you'll have a rapid reaction podcast. And then Monday, we can do a full tape breakdown. So you're going to get 7 days of podcast this week. 7 days, full 7 days. We're going to have John Ledyard on Friday's podcast. We have a lot to get to on Locked On Steelers this week. Don't miss any of it. Again, head on over to iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, any other podcast app, search Locked On Steelers and hit that subscribe. Now, we got a lot to get to today. As I said, Christopher Carter is going to be on later in the show. There's plenty of Steeler news to get to, so let's start there. And let's start with the fact that Eli Rogers was suspended today by the NFL for a violation of the substance abuse policy. He will be suspended for 1 week. I got to say, I did not see this one coming. Now, you know, substance abuse policy violations in Pittsburgh, it's become a thing, right? Or it was a thing when we had, you know, Martavis, obviously, Le'Veon a couple times. This is not a good look for Eli Rogers, though. A guy coming off of this ACL tear, still rehabbing, hasn't practiced yet. He's still on the physically unable to perform list. So, and there's no end in sight to him being on the PUP list. It's not a guarantee, really, that he's gonna be on the 53-man roster, right? They'll hold him on PUP, but when you think about the fact that he's not going to be able to practice just yet, now he's suspended for a game, he's going to go into the regular season still on PUP. Guys like Marcus Tucker, guys like Justin Hunter, these guys are going to get reps, you know, while he still sits on PUP. This is not going to put him in the good graces of Mike Tomlin or Kevin Colbert in any way. Now, here's a weird thing about this suspension, is that he's going to be suspended for one game, right? But that one game will be week one, not week seven or week eight or whenever he comes back and comes off of PUP. So he gets to serve the suspension while he's on PUP. It's a weird loophole from the NFL. I don't know. I don't understand how they're going to let a player serve a suspension while he's on PUP. Again, the suspension means he can't play in the game. He can't practice, can't participate in meetings, right? He can't be around the team. But again, here's a guy who on PUP wasn't going to practice, wasn't going to play in the game. You know, he'll miss some meetings. He can't be around the team for a week. He can still rehab and all of that. But it's just a strange way for the NFL to handle that. So again, Eli Rogers will miss week one. Well, he will be suspended for week one. He's going to miss likely the first 6 weeks. And we'll see what happens when he comes off of that list. Again, you know, he's still a quality player, has been a quality player for this team in the past, but you know, this is not a good look for him, especially considering the fact that the Steelers have put such an emphasis this offseason at eliminating these sort of off-the-field distractions. And so, you know, not a good look for Eli Rogers. Now, speaking of suspensions from the NFL, cornerback Jimmy Smith of the Baltimore Ravens has been suspended for the first four games of 2018 for violating the personal conduct policy. The Steelers play the Ravens in week four, so Jimmy Smith will be suspended for that game. And that's significant because Jimmy Smith is such an integral part of that Ravens secondary, especially, you know, their plan on stopping Antonio Brown. He's missed some time in the past with injury. He's certainly missed his fair share of Steelers-Ravens games. Won't be the first game in this rivalry that he's missed. And the Ravens do have a pretty good secondary, so, you know, they will be able to replace him, but it's still going to hurt. I mean, Jimmy Smith, one of their best players in the secondary. And again, as I said, an integral part to their plan of stopping Antonio Brown. So that game with Steelers-Ravens is week four. That game is in Pittsburgh, and Jimmy Smith will not be able to play in the game. Before we get to my conversation with Christopher Carter from DK Pittsburgh Sports, let me tell you about our sponsor for today's podcast, PosterBurner.com. They make amazing posters. And when I say posters, I don't mean the flimsy kind that you can buy in the store. I'm talking about a high-quality, super thick premium photo paper, a 24 by 36 movie style poster that you can get for under $20. Now, we've all got the perfect family photo or vacation picture. If you want to turn that into an amazing poster, go to posterburner.com. They've got an easy to use checkout system that you upload the photo, go through their customization options, and they've got plenty. If you need to crop or rotate or add a background or text to it, you can do all of that. I did it. I took a photo when I was at training camp of the inside linebackers at camp with the kind of St. Vincent shrubbery behind them. Went through their ordering process, got a movie style poster. It looks terrific. I mean, it's beautiful. They also make premium canvas prints, metal prints, decal stickers, banners. So again, turn your perfect photo into the perfect poster at posterburner.com. And if you go to posterburner.com/Steelers, you're going to get an additional 10% off your order. That discount applies to every type of print they offer. Again, posterburner.com/Steelers to get 10% off your purchase. And then let's bring in Christopher Carter of DK Pittsburgh Sports. He's an NFL analyst for them. He does film breakdowns after every Steeler game. Chris, welcome to Locked On Steelers.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tony. It's great to finally be on a show with you, man.
Yeah. You know, I've read both of your film breakdowns now. All of the talk in Pittsburgh so far coming out of these two preseason games has been on the defensive side of the ball. Of course, anytime the Steelers give up 51, that is going to be the talk of the town. What have you seen so far on tape from the defensive side of the ball? Is it too early to push the panic button?
Oh, I think it's always too early to push any button in preseason, just because when you look at historical, you know, sense, as far as when you look at track records of preseason goes, you have the Browns who have gone 4-0 in preseasons and the Patriots who have gone 0-4, and you can imagine that the end results of both those seasons are vastly different. People have every right to feel alarmed at, you know, seeing 51 points put up on a scoreboard, even though 14 of those were because of pick sixes. But people got to remember, Josh Dobbs is in the second year of his career, and he is already much farther ahead than where Landry Jones was. And I think the Steelers right now, they're tired of the idea that their quarterbacks shouldn't try to lose the game. They want them to win games. And especially in preseason where these things don't come back to hurt you, they're going to say, hey, take those chances, take those shots, and that's at least that. Defensively, I think it's the same thing. People, you know, when you look at people like Terrell Edmonds, they're not game planning for these opponents. Like in the first touchdown, he gave up covering Jimmy Graham. Pretty sure in a live game, they would have been like, all right, Morgan Burnett, if they had studied and they prepared for that game, Morgan Burnett's probably going to take Jimmy Graham. You'll take another guy. So I think a lot of this is, you know, we got to put things in perspective, which a lot of people are afraid to do. But when you look at the film, there weren't as many breakdowns. There weren't as many missed tackles as people thought there were. There were some communication problems and some mismatches that normally wouldn't occur if they were game planning. But all in all, there were a lot of positive things to also take out of the Packers game, because the Steelers, by large, are a young team that is trying to improve their young players.
Well, what? Okay, so let's break down. That's interesting. I want to hear about these positives that we can take out of it, because, you mentioned the missed tackles. For me, that's been a big worry, especially considering, you know, where we left off a year ago, right? You know, you go back to that game against Jacksonville, the missed tackles were such an issue. You go through the offseason, right? It's been such an emphasis. I don't know. Are you worried at all about the kind of missed tackles through two games?
I think it could eventually be a problem. We've developed something what we call the whiff factor at DK Pittsburgh Sports, where we're calculating for not just tackles, we're looking at how many missed tackles and how many tackles people get. Because what's important on top of a player and whether or not they bring someone down is, can they get to the ball carrier? Ryan Shazier, when he's at his height, he was a guy that he may not make all the tackles, but he could disrupt the play through like getting in a position and forcing a running back or a wide receiver to get out of a certain way and kind of messing that up. And that's what we're looking at. For example, Morgan Burnett, people think, oh, you know, because he did miss that one tackle on the receiver in open space and it gave up a big play. But he also had four other tackles. He was 4-1 when it got on made to miss tackles in that game. You know, that's a better performance than what they were getting out of Mike Mitchell, who would miss two or three tackles in a game. And again, that was, you know, Morgan Burnett, his four tackles that he was got was in 27 snaps. So I think some of the positives that I was seeing out of it, especially Cam Sutton, I think continues to be a guy that they can put in and out. They took out Mike Hilton. People didn't realize he didn't play a single snap of scrimmage. He played some special teams. But Cody Sensabaugh was a guy that was getting picked on. He's not going to see the field unless Artie Burns, Joe Hayden, Mike Hilton, and Cam Sutton are all injured right now. You know, guys that didn't that were very disappointed. I thought Brian Allen was the biggest disappointment of the secondary because he's a project. He's a guy that converted from wide receiver. They want him to develop into this guy that's a prototypical quarterback, and he hasn't shown that yet. But again, young players making progress. I thought one thing that people were downplaying, I thought John Bostic actually looked a lot better in this game. He was more comfortable. He was flowing to the plate. He didn't miss a single tackle in that game. And on top of that, he was running with with the passing game, which is something that I was a little skeptical that he'd be able to do. But even though he drew that one pass interference penalty with Mike Tomlin, I remember he took an issue with it. I didn't get the exact quote on that one, but I remember he was at least in position to make the play. And that's the big thing. They need guys in the middle that can move about and be in position. And him and Matthew Thomas, I thought, were two good points for the defense when you looked at the game.
Yeah. So has the performance through 2 weeks, I mean, it hasn't shaken you at all. What is your outlook so far for the Steeler defense in 2018?
I think they're going to be a bottom of the top 10 type of defense. People forget they ranked in the top 10 and top five in some categories last year. And yes, people would say, oh, well, they play a lot of backup quarterbacks. Well, yeah. The reality is that a lot of teams play bad or backup quarterbacks in the NFL because a lot of franchises go through these issues, especially last season. But when you look at the situation the Steelers are in, they got a lot of young players that are either 25 or younger, but, you know, Bud Dupree, Stephon Tuitt, they're on the back end of that. But Cameron Sutton, Artie Burns, Sean Davis, these are guys that are extremely young and are continuing to grow. Artie Burns had a very good second year, and it was his first really full year in the NFL, showing a lot of progress. If he continues to make that progress and develops into the really good corner next to Joe Hayden, that changes up a lot of what the Steelers can rely on. But I think right now, everyone just relax. Let's see how the first team looks, you know, when they're actually planning for their opponents. Because, I mean, there's been several times in the past people have freaked out about, oh, the offense is going to be there. This isn't going to happen. And then all of a sudden, the opening day, and, oh, this isn't that big of a deal.
Let's talk about some of the position battles that we're seeing on the defensive side of the ball. I'll start on the defensive line. I think this is one of the more interesting ones that I don't know that anyone really saw this one coming. Daniel McCullers is getting first-team reps above Javon Hargrave. First of all, your thoughts on why, right? What is Tomlin and the coaching staff seeing? McCullers has been a perennial disappointment, and how do you think McCullers has looked so far?
Well, McCullers, he's still got the same issues. His feet don't chop enough. He's not as mobile. He doesn't work. He doesn't have much of a pass rush unless he's bulldozing somebody. I honestly think the looks that you're seeing of Dan McCullers are because they want to see more of him, not because that Javon Hargrave isn't going to get these looks in the game. I also think that with the Steelers, with the way that they're planning to use their defense, you know, not a lot of 3-4, a lot more subsets with two inside defensive ends and then the outside linebackers, and then they have the rest of the defense set up behind them. But so a lot of 4-2-5 looks, you're going to see a lot of LT Walton and Hargrave before you see McCullers. But I think that they're giving McCullers every opportunity to say, look, we invested a fifth-round pick in you years ago. We want to see that you come through. And they also know that they really don't have any depth behind McCullers right now. They have Joshua Frazier. They had Kendall Vickers from Tennessee. And neither of them are really earning the snaps. And as you see with the snap counts, they're not getting much of a chance to get out there. I think Kendall Vickers played four plays against the Packers, despite all those points that were getting put up. And you think that that would want them to see more of other players. They're giving right now the McCullers the chance to say, hey, I deserve a 2 or 3 year deal at like a nice low price, but at least to be kept around. Because I mean, again, his size is a value. If he gets in the hole and he's able to create push and not get pushed off the ball, he can be at least a guy. If he puts his hands up, it's annoying to a quarterback because that can block his passing windows. So lots of things that I think he's a little bit improvements, but for me, I still think he has a long way to go. And if any other defensive tackle could step up for the Steelers, I think that they'd be like, all right, we're done with this experiment. And who knows? Maybe that comes through the draft next year if they get some guy in the third or fourth round.
Interesting. So you still think he's fighting for a spot on the 53 right now?
I think he's fighting to. I think he's got a spot on the bottom of the 53.
Okay.
The more and more I looked at how much they played him, but I think he's going to be a guy that they're okay with not giving a helmet on game days, and for him to just stick around so that they have a defensive, just a block that they can put in the middle of an offensive line and say, okay, you got to move him if you want to run a gap. But I think the thing is that the issue isn't this year. It's what's his security going to be for next year? Is he a guy that they consider, hey, we should bring him back around, or is he just going to be, well, we gave you another year. That was it. Thanks, Dan.
And then moving to the inside linebacker spot, we signed John Bostic in the offseason. Tyler Matakevich comes in now healthy. That became a position battle for a little while. Does it feel to you at all through 2 weeks? Bostic seems to be getting the majority of the first team reps. Does it feel like that position battle is over already? Bostic is the starter?
Honestly, I felt that it was over the minute they signed John Bostic. If you go back and you look at that guy's combine numbers, you saw how explosive he was. And even when he played for the Bears and the Colts, he wasn't a bad player, but it's just a guy that's like, hey, we got other things we got to invest in right now, and he's not a superstar, so we can afford to move him. And John Bostic, he's a good role-playing inside linebacker. He knows how to move, knows how to hit. He's smart enough to play the position. And Tyler Matakevich, he's not fast. And I think the Steelers were giving Tyler Matakevich the chance to start in front because that was the only way that he'd even be in this conversation if he came into minicamp and training camp getting those first-team reps. But if they had started with giving John Bostic those reps, this wouldn't even be a conversation. The whole thing is that they wanted to see if Matakevich had it. He still doesn't. He's a guy you can keep around for special teams, but the Steelers are a team that's realizing with every new season, they're realizing they need speed. They don't need guys that are slow and can tackle. They need guys that are going to, if you're slow and you can tackle, you better be able to stop the run and at least chip a guy and keep him from getting to the passing game. Matakevich, he hasn't been able to blitz well. He hasn't been able to cover well. If the run's to him, he's got it. And if it's taken on a blocker, he's good at that. But when it comes to operating in space, which middle linebackers and inside linebackers, they have to do and do well to be successful in this current NFL. And it's going to end up hurting Steelers if he gets PT.
Any chance that someone like L.J. Ford, who I think's had a pretty good camp and a relatively good preseason, or even Matthew Thomas, who is a undrafted free agent, who, like you said, he's made a surprising push as well. Any way you could see the Steelers keeping four inside linebackers that don't include Tyler Matakevich, maybe Ford and Thomas moving ahead of them at this point?
Well, that's been a debate point I've had with Dale Lally, our beat writer at DK Pittsburgh Sports. It's just that when I look at these guys and I see what the Steelers are looking for, they have their buck linebacker in Vince Williams. He's the big guy. He can rush the passer. He can stop the run. That's great. They need more Mac types, and because they can have a Mac play a buck. And I mean, John Bostic can really also switch over to Vince Williams' role and at least be competent there. But they need faster guys. And I think at the end of the day, yes, there's a chance that they could say, all right, we're keeping Matthew Thomas, because we don't want this guy to get on the waivers and get snatched up, because now people have some tape on him. And they saw him chasing down Cooper down the middle of the field and almost catch him on that long touchdown run pass or reception against the Packers. And I think teams are starting to say, okay, that kid might be able to play. And LJ Ford, I'm with you. He's had a really good camp. He's made some one-handed interceptions in practice. And you saw him in that game. He played 18 snaps and was around the ball six of those plays. That to me is crucial. Getting to the ball. I think he missed one, maybe two tackles. Like I don't have the stats right in front of me right now, but I think LJ Ford, he didn't look horrible. Because I won't say he didn't look bad, but in that Jaguars playoff game, there was a key third down where Bortles put him on an island. He rolled out. Ford had to decide, do I cover this guy? Do I go get Bortles? He covered his man long enough and then moved so quickly in on Bortles that Bortles could not wait to get for his man to get open. So Ford has that athleticism. I think they're looking for it. I think it's very, very, it's definitely an option that they'll keep four guys and one of them not be Medicavis. But I also think it's an option that they keep five inside linebackers because they know they need depth at the position.
Yeah. And then going back to Matthew Thomas, I'm with you. I think they keep five. I did my roster prediction yesterday. I had them keeping five. And I like them to keep Matthew Thomas for two reasons. One, I feel like they still need a developmental inside linebacker guy that they can develop over the years, right? I mean, Bostic.
I agree.
Bostic can be the starter for today, but we do need to groom the next great Steeler inside linebacker. I don't know that Matthew Thomas is that guy, but I also don't know that they want to let him go, you know, right now. Maybe they can stash him on the practice squad. It feels like, to me, keep him on the 53. He also has the ability, though. We've seen him play edge as well. I mean, that kind of position flexibility is something Tomlin loves in those young players.
Especially, yeah, you're absolutely right. They love these hybrid looks. The Steelers are trying to get out in front of what's happening with the NFL and how offenses are given so many advantages. So defenses have to be versatile. They have to have players that can play. They have to have, just like you have to have a cornerback that can play outside the numbers and in the slot, you're starting to really need linebackers that can play the edge and play the middle. And Matthew Thomas does look like a guy that he could do both if he improves his technique, improves his instincts, and understands the roles of what he's doing. And that's just what he didn't do at Florida State. So many times, I would watch Matthew Thomas, and I don't know how much you studied his film, Tony, but every time I saw him, if he knew where the play was going, if he saw the running back coming to him, then he was on it. He could make the tackle, he could cover the guy, he could hit the quarterback. But when he had to figure, if it was a power run, it was a power run to his side or away from his side, and he wasn't sure which gap he had, he would really hesitate. The blockers would get to him and blow him off the ball, and then his assignment is ruined. That's what the Steelers need to coach out of him and make sure that he's not hesitating as much. And I haven't seen that hesitation in these two preseason games. In the earlier practices, it's expected to see because he's getting used to NFL training and working with those types of athletes. But right now, man, I really think that he's putting himself in a position to be kept around as that developmental player and sometimes even that guy that they're going to put in there. Say John Bostic or Vince Williams get hurt because injuries do happen in the NFL, as the Steelers know.
Yeah. Okay. And then let's finish up with safety because this has been an interesting spot all off season, right? The question all off season, who is even going to play free safety? You have Sean Davis, who's been the strong safety for the Steelers for the last couple of years. They bring in Morgan Burnett, more of a strong safety than a free safety, although he's played everywhere in Green Bay. They draft Terrell Edmonds. Probably a better in-the-box safety early in his career. Maybe he's got the athleticism to play free, but maybe not the instincts to play free just yet. So here we are. We have Sean Davis moving to free safety. Doesn't feel like, though, and now he's hurt, and we don't have a whole lot of depth behind him. How are you feeling about the safety spot overall?
I feel like the Steelers are in a position where this is why they went and got Terrell Edmonds, is because they wanted, and this is why they went and signed Morgan Burnett, because I think they were prepared for if one guy goes down, they need other players that can switch between both. When they had their day, they couldn't do that with Ryan Clark and Troy Polamalu, because Ryan Clark was a hard hitting free safety and Polamalu was an all over the field strong safety, and you could technically put him at free, but that's not what you wanted to do with his skill set. And I think right now they're trying to have guys that they can flip and mismatch with defenses. That's something that the Eagles do with Malcolm Jenkins. He's an in-the-box safety, but they'll put him back and have him play that single high safety look and cover one defense. The Falcons with Keanu Neal, the Patriots with the way that they use safeties, their guys are moving all over the field. Patrick Chung often is put in the box, but then there's times that they'll back him up. Because they want to confuse quarterbacks. They want to be able to have these sets where they can have three safeties on the field and be able to stop the run and stop the short pass and defend against the deep ball and not have it so that that Tom Brady or Marcus Mariota or Drew Brees or whoever wants to come out and run no huddle against them and can say, hey, I know that James White can beat Vince Williams on this route. We're just going to keep this same unit on the field and they won't be able to adjust to it. Now with these safeties, they're hoping that they develop into that. So I think that this is sort of what they're preparing for. And that's why they're okay with putting Terrell Edmonds out there more. I do think that they would behoove themselves by making sure that Morgan Burnett is that guy that's in the box and on the tight end, simply because I think that that's more of his forte, and that Terrell Edmonds with his youth and his speed, he might be able to get more comfortable out there and make those type of plays. But absolutely, Sean Davis is that guy. I thought he would have been that guy when they drafted him, and now he's sort of, they've worked him into being a strong safety. Now they're like, okay, let's bring him back. Let's put him back here. I also think they got another in-the-box guy in Marcus Allen. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's been making the plays in preseason, but he's a guy that can hit. He's a guy that in camp looks like he knows what he's doing when he's in the box, and that they may value. But I do think that they need to be very careful with how free safety works, because if Sean Davis is down for, you know, when the season goes and they need to put Morgan Burnett back there, I think that could be a bit of a tall task, especially with Terrell Edmonds being the guy that has to communicate and move all over the field as a strong safety.
Yeah, see, I completely agree. I think Morgan Burnett right now, I mean, you saw this a little bit in the Green Bay game, right? You know, Morgan Burnett is just, he was so much better when he was around the line of scrimmage. I mean, the big tackles that you talked about him making, right? I mean, he was so good in those areas. We've seen him in camp doing a great job covering tight ends. Like, the opportunity cost of moving him to free safety and not having him in that strong safety role, I mean, you're getting a worse Morgan Burnett as a free safety, and you're not having him in the strong. Yeah, I have real worries right now about this team and what happens in the event of an injury to Sean Davis. It feels like they want to go with Morgan Burnett, but, and maybe it's just because there's no one. I mean, who else would you put at free safety if it's not going to be Morgan Burnett?
That's a good question. I mean, do they feel like, because I'm sure the Steelers, they're thinking it with that decision, if we put Morgan Burnett back there, we know he's more disciplined and he won't bail on his deep responsibilities and give up a touchdown, whereas Terrell Edmonds might be more aggressive being the young player and trying to prove himself, and that might expose our defense for more big plays, which they are absolutely trying to cut down on after having the most big plays in the NFL last year, or giving up the most big plays in the NFL last year. But I mean, you look at Morgan Burnett, I mean, in the past 3 years, he has had to cover Rob Gronkowski and Jimmy Graham, and he's had very good success against them when he's been assigned them one-on-one, let me run with them from the line of scrimmage. And I think that's why the Steelers hired him, is because they want a guy that they say that can run with those superstar tight ends, be physical, and outsmart them in those situations, and while still having other safeties that can move about the field, be aggressive, blitz, but also, you know, cover deep and run with those fast receivers.
Yeah, and you know, and I know Steeler fans are really, you know, they always get upset about the catch rule and that loss to the Patriots, but you can argue that an even bigger factor in that game other than the catch rule was the fact that the Steelers just were completely unable to cover Rob Gronkowski in that game. So if Morgan Burnett can go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, I agree that I think that game is the reason why they're getting Morgan Burnett. But a lot of people were dogging Sean Davis about that. I thought he did a really good job. As far as what you could expect of a second-year player covering a superstar, and covering a superstar that's being thrown to by, you know, what many people consider the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
That, and in the first half, they shut Rob Gronkowski down. But in that second half, you just saw him and Brady turn it on, and those are two of the best to ever do it in their positions. I felt like, you know, kind of making Sean Davis the GOAT in that situation was a tough thing for a lot of people to do. When I gave my post game grades after that, when I was kind of like, I don't think that this guy, I'm not going to, you know, say this guy was bad. I will say he got beat, and it's obvious he got beat.
Yeah.
But I think that's why they got Morgan Burnett, is because of that game. I do think that, in the long run, they've gotten a lot better against tight ends. Cause if you remember, like, Travis Kelce, they shut him down when they played him earlier in the season.
Yeah, yeah, and they've had so much success against the Chiefs. It's weird. That's a weird matchup. They always.
It is so bizarre.
Yeah, no matter how good each team is, I mean, the Steelers always have their number. All right, I do want to ask you about this, you know, I don't want to call it, I mean, is it a new defensive scheme? The Steelers have toyed with the idea of using more defensive backs for so many years now, specifically trying to use three safeties on the field at the same time. Now, you know, training camp rolls around. We're seeing this new dollar look, the seven defensive backs on the field at the same time. Now, we're probably not going to see it during the preseason. Mike Hilton and Cam Sutton both kind of saying we want to keep that close to the vest and show it during the regular season. Is this new look, is this a big deal, little deal, no deal at all? I mean, is this just a third and long type defense we're going to see in specialty situations?
I think it's a big deal in the sense that it's going to be something that they experiment with, and if they get success with it, you're going to see more of it. Because I think they're saving it for when they play teams like the Ravens and the Patriots. They don't want those teams that they know they're going to have to face one, two, maybe three times before they get to the Super Bowl. If that's how far they're going, they want to make sure that there's not as much tape on it so that they can study the tendencies of the players in those situations. But I do think it will be a big deal, because especially when they get in those shootout games, like they did with the Ravens at the end of last season, they need a way to be able to cover the pass and be aggressive against the run. And you saw in training camp, they were putting Mike Hilton, Deshaun Phillips, Cameron Sutton, they were putting them in backs on backers drills. You know, having them hit running backs, because they want them to be that aggressive and that strong inside the box. So I'm absolutely thinking that this is going to be a major storyline, especially when they start playing those stronger teams.
Interesting. And do you think that it then like gives a, right now we haven't seen a lot of Marcus Allen, right? I mean, Marcus Allen in camp, he's, you know, we haven't seen him much in preseason, right? But does that open the door for him to make the roster then, given that he is, you know, he's been a player in that dollar look, he played a little bit of linebacker in the dollar. Does that give him a little inside track to making the roster?
I think it does, especially because you look at their safety depth. And I'll tell you, another guy that didn't impress me was Nat Bury, the guy they got from the Giants.
Yeah.
I thought he made some good tackles, but on that that long run that Kupero had, he should have pinned him to the sideline. He did. He got beat back to his inside. And Bury, he's not a pass defensive safety. He's a hard hitting guy. And if the Steelers are looking at it, they're like, look, if we need a hard hitting safety, Marcus Allen is that. So we can kind of operate with him in that mind. And right now the Steelers are looking at, you know, a few things. One, money. Two, youth. How long are we going to keep a guy in our system? I do think that they're not that big on Marcus Allen. That's why he's not seeing as much time there, and he's not getting as many opportunities. But I absolutely think there's a place for him on this team if they're going to run that dollar defense more and more.
All right, Christopher Carter, thank you for coming on. And let people
Thanks
know.
For having me, Tony.
Yeah, let people know where they can find your work on the internet.
Absolutely, my name is Christopher Carter. I work for DK Pittsburgh Sports as an NFL analyst. We break down film in what's called Carter's Classroom or the War Room, where we do post-game analysis. We analyze film. You can find me at Carter Critiques on Twitter. And check out dkpittsburghsports.com. We offer a great subscription package. Right now, you can do 99 cents for a trial month. If you like it, keep stick with us. If not, we hope that you keep following us in the future. But, Tony, thanks again for having me in your program. I love your shows, man.
Thank you. And hey, DK Pittsburgh Sports, well worth the 99 cents. Give it a trial. I have a subscription. It's a fantastic site. Thanks again for coming on.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, and that'll do it for me today. Thank you all for listening. If you want to leave feedback, SteelerCountry@gmail.com is the email address. You can follow me on Twitter @SteelerCountry, and I'll be back tomorrow for more Locked On Steelers.